This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And President Obama told the world today that at the G20 summit dinner last night on Syria, he wasn't sitting all by himself.
It is my view, and a view that was shared by a number of people in the room, that given Security Council paralysis on this issue, if we are serious about upholding a ban on chemical weapons use, then an international response is required, and that will not come through Security Council action.
More about the president and the St. Petersburg summit in a moment, but we're all about listening on this program, listening for a consensus here in the U.S. on possible intervention in Syria. Some public radio talk show hosts around the country will tell us what they are hearing later this hour. And just how does the NSA do some of its most sophisticated listening? If you think they have a problem getting past any of your passwords, think again. The password today is Snowden once again. Scott Shane of the New York Times will be with us. All that this hour, but we begin with the conclusion of the G20 summit in St. Petersburg, Russia.
We may not solve the whole problem, but this particular problem of using chemical weapons on children, this one we might have an impact on, and that's worth acting on. That's important to us.
Kimberly Martin has been listening closely to the public statements and private divisions between President Obama and Russian leader Putin. She joins us now. Martin is a professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. Delighted to be here.
So what did we see at this summit? Russian leader Vladimir Putin as global gadfly or puppeteer? He'd probably prefer puppeteer.
I think several things are going on. The first is that any chance that he can have to blacken the U.S.'s eye, he's going to take it. But the second thing is that there are a lot of complex issues involving Russian-European relations that are taking place on, that maybe the U.S. press hasn't given a lot of attention to, but that are very important for Russia.
Does Syria and these huge headlines, Snowden, et cetera, overshadow that, complicate that, or is that going on in the background?
Well, we don't see a whole lot of European support for what the U.S. wants to do, and so I think it's sort of not all that much involved in what Russia and Europe are trying to do. Russia's trying to create a visa-free regime with Europe, which would really increase business opportunities, and the Russian Atomic Energy Agency is trying to work out a deal with Rolls-Royce for civil nuclear developments throughout Europe.
And so Europe's interest in that, in the middle of a sort of stagnant economic situation, and the G20 is supposed to be all about economics,
yes,
may be driving Europe closer to Vladimir Putin and keeping the European leaders sort of away from Syria for the time being.
I think that might be part of it. And something to keep in mind, too, is that in domestic Russian politics, the really big event is going to happen on Sunday with the Russian mayoral vote that's happening in Moscow. And Putin may be trying to deflect attention from the Navalny competition that his party is facing in Moscow by trying to concentrate on the U.S.-Russian problems.
So him getting attention, standing up to President Obama, aids his candidate in the mayoral election.
Exactly. It makes him look strong at home, and it makes him look like, you know, if you want Moscow to have favored relations with the Russian government in the future, vote for our candidate so that the network stays in place.
Well, it's not exactly your expertise, but I would suspect with all that going on, President Obama is feeling a little bit like an asterisk at this G20 summit, although he has his own reasons for talking with world leaders.
Oh, yes. I mean, he's been doing a lot of things on the sidelines, too, talking with the Japanese and the Chinese and so forth. But I think, you know, we don't really know what the outcome is going to be on Syria yet, and nobody is talking about carrying out a strike immediately. And I think there's still time for consensus to be built, and we'll see what happens as further evidence gets released.
And as we'll talk later this hour, things in Congress aren't looking so well for the president on that score. Let's talk a little bit about an issue that probably would have been right at the top of the agenda but for the Snowden issue and the Syria question, and that is the question of gays in Russia and the looming Olympics and the controversy there. The president will be having a meeting with the folks in Russia who are opposed to this new law on homosexuality.
Yes. What's interesting is that Putin was very clever because he bought off some of the people that Obama had wanted to meet with. There's one group in particular led by somebody named Lev Ponomaryov that Obama had wanted to meet with, a major human rights organization that had been a victim of the NGO law that Russia passed earlier this year. And Putin turned around a couple days ago and said, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. We'll offer you a new building that's owned by the Kremlin. And amazingly, Ponomaryov now doesn't want to talk to Obama.
So wheeling and dealing, even on this issue here, how much is at stake for these Winter Olympics coming up?
I don't think it's going to have that much ultimate impact on the Olympics. But I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is a push by the international community to try to target the economic interests that are involved and not just the political interests.
Take us inside the domestic politics on this gay issue in Russia, if we can. Let's get away from the G20 summit for a moment. What is really driving this in Russia, this question of a law which makes it a crime to influence young people with evidence of a gay lifestyle because it might turn them into something, on the order of a social malaise of one kind or another? Is that a fair characterization of this law?
Yes. And Putin has a very strong relationship with the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church. So that's certainly part of Putin's network that he's trying to pay off by taking this very conservative stance. But as many people have pointed out, Russia does not really have a conservative social culture on many issues. This is just one thing that's not particularly controversial among the Russian population that Putin can score points on.
So it's big with the church. Russians aren't going to stand up one way or another. And so it's really for the international community to push. It's just not an issue inside Russia.
Yes, and on economic interests in particular.
Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College. Always fascinating to talk with you.
Always a pleasure, John.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.